Welcome to Pastor Talk. Join us as we discuss the issues of the church and the matters of the heart. We pray that you will be encouraged and strengthened today as we join our host, international evangelist and longtime pastor, Tom Sears.
And welcome inside of this episode of Pastor Talk. Pastor Tom Sears, senior pastor of New Beginnings Church, Good Hope, West Virginia. Our mailing address, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. You can also email me personally by emailing pastorsears@gmail.com. A lot happening this past week, and this program is going to echo my sermon that I preached this morning at New Beginnings Church that I titled Stop the Madness. It's going to deal directly with the abortion issue, and it's not typically something that I would talk about on Pastor Talk. It's more for the What's Important Now program, but I'm going to be honest with you. I think that the church has remained silent long enough. I don't know if we fear reproach or if we fear the backlash of people or society by speaking out against this, but ladies and gentlemen, the madness has to end. It has to end. We are the church. And this morning, I shared a scripture from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8, that says, open your mouths for the speechless. Basically, speak for those who can't speak for themselves. And as I told the church, seemingly the doctor who took the Hippocratic Oath, the mother who's supposed to protect the child, they both failed in the case of an abortion. And so we have to speak up. The church has to speak up. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. And so we are going to talk about this issue today. This is going to be a program that honestly is not kid friendly. It's going to have some graphic details, some graphic content, and we're going to talk about things that you probably don't want your children to hear. And so we're telling you that now as a disclaimer, and we'll give that disclaimer multiple times throughout the program. On this particular episode, I am joined in studio once again by Kevin Poff and Daniel Johnson. And I know that they both feel very strongly about this issue. And gentlemen, I want to welcome you to Pastor Talk.
Thank you for having us.
Are you as outraged, Kevin, as are you as outraged as I am with this issue?
Yes, sir.
It's gruesome, it's graphic, it's inhumane, and what I said this morning was you would not allow this to happen to animals, right?
No.
Why are we so open to the idea in America that it's just okay? What has happened to us?
We've lost sight of the truth. We've gotten comfortable with a double standard. You had mentioned this morning, if a child, an unborn baby, is murdered in a homicide of a different crime, it's considered two homicides if the mother dies and the child does too. But yet, we purposefully...
It's astounding to me. Daniel, we were talking last evening, and you told me that you had looked into the procedure known as partial birth abortion, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you have already heard, but just in case you haven't, Governor Cuomo signed into law a bill this past week in New York that allows abortions up until the date of birth. But Daniel, you looked into this procedure and you told me it angered you. Did it not?
It did more than just anger me. It just beyond my mind how someone can do such a wicked, sick act upon a baby. And what I seen was a whole grown baby to my eyes and its neck being butchered while its head was still in its mother. You know, where is the separation? You know what I mean? between wickedness and right.
It's blurred.
And it just makes me sick, and it has changed my mind ever since I've seen it. And it's something that replays in my mind all the time since I've seen it. Where is the mind of the people that thinks that this is okay? What's the next step? First, it's, you know, it starts out, you know, little by little. It's well, we'll do this because of this, you know, just a little bit of something. And then they get hold of something else, and there's a reason to go even further. We need to do this because of this and this because of this. Sooner or later, it's going to come down to, and people can laugh, but they'll start picking them out of daycare centers, which ones should live and which ones should die. You know, I said something on Facebook, it was on social media, that there's a scandal in this country to get rid of people, to kill them. If they can't breed the American people out, they're going to kill us. Immigration is one way that they're trying to do that here in this country. And you know, and it boggles my mind that we have soldiers going to other countries to fight for people's freedom, to fight for their well-being. But yet we're killing ourselves here in this country.
Yeah. Obviously, Daniel, very impassioned there. It's very troubling. It's very disgusting. It's sickening. I have as well, during research, and again, this is usually a topic that I would do on the What's Important Now radio program, but I just feel like we really need to speak to the church. The church really has to step up. The church must step up now. But I have also viewed those videos and seen those illustrations and read the accounts of how gruesome that procedure is. And ladies and gentlemen, again, we, as a disclaimer, this is not kid friendly. This is not a kid-friendly program today. This is graphic details as to what happens in abortion clinics every day. And you know, and Daniel asked the question, Kevin. He said, what is wrong with us that we think that this is okay? I mean, has our conscience been seared? I mean, what's happening in our country? We had made so many steps in the right direction as it pertained to abortion. I really felt like ground was being gained. And partial birth abortion was becoming lesser and lesser of an issue. We're talking about, in most cases, a fully grown baby that is just, and I'm going to use the word Daniel used, butchered. They're being butchered in abortion clinics. And the church is silent. The church, and again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying that everyone is silent on this issue. I hope you're listening and you can say, I am a pro-life advocate. I support pro-life organizations. I let my voice be heard. But the problem is, Kevin, we are the silent majority anymore. And we don't talk about this gruesome thing because for various reasons. We don't want to offend anyone. We want, you know, whatever. But we have to speak out. The Bible says we have to speak out.
Yes, we do. The church, the majority of church, has been fed the lie that they're the silent minority. That, oh, we can't make a difference. We can't see this change. It reminds me of Gideon. He thought he was the weakest one in the smallest family of Israel, hiding in a wine press, thrashing wheat, and God took him and 350 others and defeated an entire army. If God be for us, who can be against us? If we're rise up in our righteous indignation.
And that's key. It's key.
We have to be angry and sin not. We can't go out physically attacking people on the street corner near an abortion clinic. Because that's not what the Lord would do. And our warfare is not carnal. We're not fighting people. We're fighting principalities and powers and darknesses.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, not all activists, but a lot of times, we get so, for a lack of a better, riled up that we take the fight to a person when it needs to be against the principalities and powers. because it's easier to fight something you can see than something you can't see.
Yeah. And there is a scheme of hell. There is wickedness. There's no doubt about that. I want to share an article from the National Review dated January 26, 2019. And it's titled The Indefensible Morality of Andrew Cuomo, which, by the way, is the governor of New York. It reads, "For as long as man has had religion, religion has had hypocrites. The Catholic Church is no exception. It is, like all churches and all religions, full of sinners. In fact, that is its boast. No sin is too great, no Pharisee too far gone to be saved. The first pope was a man who fled from the passion and death of his Lord, betraying Jesus three times rather than to suffer beside him. One of the church's first great saints was a man who spent much of his life zealously persecuting and killing the earliest Christians. Both men repented, both were martyred for their death or for their faith. Andrew Cuomo, their brother in baptism, has yet to find his road to Damascus. The governor of New York is proud to be a Catholic, but like his father before him, only when it suits his political purposes. Last summer, when Pope Francis announced that the death penalty is never permissible, Cuomo rushed with all undue haste to claim the mantle of this creed. But Cuomo cast aside his supposed Catholic convictions with greater ease than he takes them up. This week, on the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade, the governor signed into law the Ghastly Reproductive Health Act, or RHA. The legislation permits abortion up to 24 weeks of pregnancy, when abortion is never medically necessary and when children born prematurely are routinely able to survive outside the womb with careful tending. And it creates lenient exceptions, essentially sanctioning elective abortion up to the moment of birth. Cuomo's dedication to reproductive rights allowed for the extinguishment of more than 82,000 in 2016 alone. About 2,000 of those unborn children were killed after 20 weeks of pregnancy, the threshold where advanced neonatal intensive care is just beginning to enable survival. Nearly 6,000 of those unborn children were killed in dilation and evacuation abortions, in which the fetus is, if it's lucky, lethally injected before they begin cutting it apart to remove it piece by piece from the womb of his mother. This fallen son looks less like Saul and more like Judas, selling the innocent to save his political soul. This is what is astounding to me. This is about politics, and this is about greed, and this is about money. One of the statistics that I shared this morning was that in 90% of the cases of abortions in America, it is out of convenience. Daniel, it's not done for the reasons that they lie and tell the American public that it's medically necessary. It is done in 90% of the abortions done, Daniel. It is done because the mother decided, I don't want this child for whatever reason.
Well, what I'm sitting here thinking about is, it's more expensive to keep your child and do the necessary care that they offer through hospitals than it is to have an abortion. What's that tell you? They make it easy to have an abortion. And it's just, and you know, I'm sitting here thinking how, you know, I've seen dogs protect their cubs,
absolutely,
or their puppies or whatever from even their owners that, you know, act like they're going to do them harm. What's that say about a human that will kill another human, another baby? What's that say? That, you know, that this dog has a natural instinct to protect its young, but yet a human being will kill its young.
Think about performing an abortion up until the date of birth. I mean, it's kind of like you carry the child for 24 weeks with the idea of knowing that, well, if I change my mind, we can go ahead and abort the baby. This is unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. And Kevin, I think Daniel brings up an excellent point. You know, animals protect their young more than we as human beings are protecting ours. It's a shame. It's sad. It's disgusting.
This is a result of the lack of morality that we overall see in society. Where, when I was growing up, we were taught morals. We were taught right from wrong, that sex was meant for marriage and marriage only. Not just go do it, sleep with whoever you feel like. Sex is no more important than a kiss anymore. In society.
No consequences.
No consequences. And if you do get pregnant, oh, you get an abortion. It is so... The abortion industry is so wrapped up in profit that Planned Parenthood not only makes it easy, they facilitate repeat customers.
Yeah.
A girl will come in, has an abortion, and to, in, quote, ensure that they won't need another one, they give them birth control. What the girl doesn't know is that the birth control is pretty much useless. The girl thinks she is safe, gives out and has sex, gets pregnant again. There's the customer. There's another $450. And they do this all over the country thousands of times a day.
You mentioned $450 there. The amazing thing is, and I talked about this this morning in my sermon, you know, over the last couple months, I had a root canal. I had a temporary filling put in. And then more recently, had a crown. And it cost me over $2,000. But you can abort a life. We're talking about one tooth. You can abort a life in this country for $450 to $500. I never would have imagined, Daniel, that we would live in a time where life would mean so little.
Why didn't your taxpayer, the money you pay in taxes, why didn't that take care of your tooth?
Well, I mean, that's a good question.
That's a really good question. Yeah. But yet, you know, a mother can go out here and get her baby murdered. That's exactly what it is. Call it abortion, call it whatever. I'm tired of, you know, using their kind of what they want to call it to make it sound good, like it's appropriate. But it's murder. It's downright murder. If you would murder a little baby that's inside of someone's womb, you would murder a kid at any age. Doesn't matter. There's no limitations to murder. Murder's murder.
Life has been... I've had the unfortunate circumstance of being in a room with a family, their son, their grandson was a football player for our local high school, and he was injured with a head injury during the football game. I was in the room with them when the doctors came in and said, "Listen, he's medically dead. He has no brain waves, and when we take him off the machine, his heart's going to quit working." And they used that as evidence that life had come to an end. How is it that in a society today that we can say that life ends when brain waves disappear and heartbeats cease, but we can't use that to say that that's when life begins, when we note that there are brain waves and that there's a heartbeat? It's a question that I'd love for abortion industry people to answer, but I'm sure they'll have some catchy thing that they would want to say. Let's go to the scripture here. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven into the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet had existed." It's very clear, Kevin, that God forms us in our mother's womb. He knows us. Jeremiah his words are another clear indication of that, that he foreknew who we were. Yet we snuff out these lives as such a low price, and 2018 statistics came out and they reported that abortion was now the number one cause of death in the world. I mean, you think about that for a moment. It's not heart disease, it's not cancer, it's abortion. It's selective. It's not a disease that comes upon you that steals life from you. It's a choice of a mother and a doctor to take a life. Unbelievable.
All in the name of convenience. And if majority of it boils down to lack of self-control and lack of morality. If biblical principles were allowed to be taught in school of abstinence and that sex was only for marriage, how many lives would have been saved? I was doing research a little while back for a previous podcast that we were doing and come across somebody called an abortion clinic in Colorado and asked how much it would cost for a 9-month abortion, which is still illegal there. And the price, because it was illegal, this doctor was still willing to do it out of convenience. There wasn't anything wrong with the child. He said, depends on how far you are, $17,000 to $25,000. It could still be done. He would do it. With this being passed in New York, it's not priced cost prohibitive anymore.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, graphic details of a gruesome so-called procedure, as Daniel said, that amounts to murder. Let's talk some statistics. Based on the latest state-level data available, approximately 882,000 abortions took place in the United States in 2017. That was down slightly, but it's back on the rise. According to a United Nations 2013 report, only 9 countries in the world have a higher reported abortion rate than the United States. And I found this interesting because of the countries that are listed. Bulgaria, Cuba, Estonia, Georgia, Kazakhstan, Romania, Russia, Sweden, and the Ukraine. In 2014, as provided by the CDC, the highest percentage of pregnancies that were aborted were in the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. 38% of pregnancies in Washington, D.C. ended in abortion. In New York, 33%. In New Jersey, 30%. The lowest percentage of pregnancies were aborted in Utah. That's 5%. South Dakota, 4%. And Wyoming, less than 2%. And I'm getting these stats, although they come from the CDC, from a website called abort73.com. In 2015, approximately 35% of all pregnancies in New York City ended in abortion. So who has abortions? And Kevin used the word out of convenience. So who is having these abortions? Unmarried women account for 86% of all abortions. So what we have there is, you know, God's ultimate plan for marriage and for family is that one man and one woman come together, consummate the marriage, and then from that consummation, from that relationship, from that marriage, you know, he may or may not bless with a child. But because we are breaking the rules, as Kevin pointed out, because we are living life the way we want to live it, because we live life where there's no consequences, 86% of abortions are happening outside the covenant of marriage. Among married women, 4% of pregnancies currently end in abortion. And then among unmarried women, 27%. So that's 27%. Here's how you have to break this down. 27% of unmarried women in America who end up pregnant terminate the pregnancy, murder the child. Adolescents under 15 years old make up less than 0.03%. and women aged 15 to 19 account for less than 10%. The majority of abortions take place, 31% ages 20 to 24 and 27% ages 25 to 29. Women living with a partner to whom they were not married account for 25% of abortions, but only 10% of women, but only about 10% of women in the population. In 2015, women who had not aborted in the past accounted for 56% of abortions. Women with one or two prior abortions accounted for 35%, and women with three or more abortions accounted for 8% of abortions. And guys, you know, what I would say to that is, it's astounding to me to think that 35% of women who have one abortion end up having two or three more abortions. What does it say about the mindset of a mother?
No accountability, no consequences for anything. So you're going, as long as you get by with something, you're going to continue to do it when you like doing something. It's just like a thief going in and robbing a bank. He's going to constantly do it when he knows there's no, he's not going to get caught. There's no consequences. You know, anybody, it's just wrong, period. I mean, you know, it's just wrong.
I agree. And it's, I mean, you can tell the tone of this broadcast, of this program. It's really got the three of us, I mean, just shaken to the core. And I think that you, the listening audience, if you have not taken the time to really research this, see the graphic images or even the video, one that I always point to is the silent scream. Do you do realize that medically and scientifically, they've proven that there is a certain age, without a doubt, that babies feel pain in the womb? You know, the silent scream depicts a baby dodging the instrument that's about to take its life. And then once the instrument catches up to the child, there's that scream of pain. My wife was sharing with me that, I guess this past week on Fox and Friends, a doctor who formerly he conducted abortions, and he told the story of how it happens. A partial birth abortion, they will take a leg, rip it off, discard it. They'll take the other leg, rip it off, and discard it. All with tremendous pain to the child. And like I said at church this morning, the mother gets an anesthetic. And they'll take another arm, or they'll take an arm and rip it off. Take another arm and rip it off. And then they go for the heart. Try to stop the heart. And then finally, they collapse the skull to suction out the baby's brain. And the doctor said it this way, that he, as a doctor, he knew that he had collapsed the skull when the white brain matter would ooze out of the mother. And then they remove what's left of the baby and throw it away. And I don't know, it's been a couple years ago now, I guess, but they had those hidden cameras where they were meeting with Planned Parenthood representatives and discussing selling babies' body parts. As they had their salads and drank their wine, they discussed a price tag for those parts. I don't understand it. I'm never going to get it. Back to some more statistics. Among women who obtained abortions in 2015, 41% had no prior live births. 45% had one or two prior live births. So, you know, and I said this morning, I don't understand. I have three children, and I don't understand how you can give them a bath, comb their hair, play with them in the evening, do the activities that you do, hold them on your lap, and the love that you feel for that child is just crazy. How could you have had children and then go get an abortion. I don't know. I know the Bible says that we'll call good evil and evil good, but it just evil really stands out to me here. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, you may criticize me for calling people evil, but I don't know how else to say it. I don't know how else to put it out there. It's evil to take the life of your of any child, let alone your own. Among white women, 10% of pregnancies end in abortion, but among black women, 28% of pregnancies end in abortion. And when we'll take a break, and when we come back, I'm actually going to talk about the scandal there. I'll give you a little historical insight into that. But abortions occur 90% out of convenience. It's not medical exceptions. It's not rape. It's not incest. That is a lie. Planned Parenthood is going in and conducting market research to find out if the next college town is suitable to set up shop, because it is about money. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, and I stress that to the church this morning. Think about that, that the love of money is the root of all evil. Gruesome, graphic, what we're doing to our children. On average, since 1973, Americans have aborted 1.4 million babies per year. You talk about the Holocaust. 6 million Jews were exterminated at the hands of Adolf Hitler and his regime. A total of 13 million people died in concentration camps. And this is the new Holocaust, and it's happening right here in America. Right here in America. Abortion is stealing our future. And we celebrate it as women's reproductive rights, as a woman's health issue. We light up buildings in New York to celebrate this disgusting law, to light the buildings in pink. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to stop the madness. It's time. The church needs to wake up and stand up against this garbage. God hates the shedding of innocent blood, and we should too. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the scandal that was put in place in the early 1900s here in America that led to the abortion industry. And it's not all bad news. We're going to celebrate some laws happening around this country that are for the good. You're listening to Pastor Talk. We'll be right back.
Hear our cry, Lord, we pray. Our faces down, our hands are raised. He called us out, He turned away, He turned away. With shipwrecked faith, the idols rise. We do what is right in our own eyes. Our children now will pay the price. We need your light, Lord, shine your light. If we've ever needed you, Lord, it's now. Lord, it's now. We're desperate for your hand. We're reaching out, reaching out. All our hearts, all our strength, with all our minds, we're at your feet. May your kingdom come in our hearts and lives. Let your church arise. Let your church arise. If we've ever needed you, Lord, it's now. Lord, it's now. We are desperate for your hand. Reaching out, reaching out, reaching out. If we've ever needed you, Lord, it's now. Lord, it's now. We're desperate for your hand. Reaching out, reaching out. We need you now. Revive us now. We need you now.
And welcome back inside of Pastor Talk. That was my daughter, Brianna, singing a song, Casting Crowns Made Possible. I think it's very fitting for today's broadcast. If we've ever needed you, Lord, it's now. Well, during the break, Daniel and Kevin and I, we looked up different things, and I once again viewed portions of the 1984 film, The Silent Scream. And it just, honest to goodness, ladies and gentlemen, and I know that you're out there listening and you feel the same way. It just makes you feel bad. I mean, like, I don't even know how to explain it. Just the emotions of it. And it's heart-wrenching. It's just brutal. I want to talk to you here in the second half about a couple of different things. First, a scandal that has been implemented in American history, and it started with a woman by the name of Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger and Adolf Hitler admired each other. They had the same plan. As a matter of fact, Margaret Sanger, she's considered the founder of Planned Parenthood. Organizations that she and ideas that she constructed led to Planned Parenthood, and Adolf Hitler admired her for her viewpoints because she was one that held to the belief that if you had a handicap or a disability, you should not be given the chance to live, that you drug down society and its perfection, so to speak. And she also firmly believed that African-Americans were not fit to live. And she was very racist. And so thus started her campaign to fertilize, or I should say sterilize, African-American girls as young as the age of 12 years old, because she, again, she wanted to wipe out the African-American population. I don't think it's coincidence that abortion rates are much higher in the African-American community in America. And so, you know, she had this plan. It's a plan that here, fast forward now to 2019, and we see it very clearly that there is an agenda. It's the agenda to not only create a perfect race, so to speak, but it's an agenda to make a bunch of money. And Kevin, you were talking about this during the break as well, just about, you know, creating sort of that race, that idea that that ultimately could lead to even bigger consequences, that abortion on demand, abortion without consequences, could lead to even more consequences later in life.
Yes, sir. The abortion, it is just a stepping stone in the road to even euthanasia, whether it be doctor-assisted suicide or government-mandated deaths like we saw during the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Whether you were mentally handicapped, physically handicapped, you, like you said, you were a drain on the resources. And at that time, it was for the war. And a lot of the doctrine of the time was occultic in nature. There again, we're not necessarily fighting people, we're fighting principalities and powers. But when those principalities and powers go unchecked, we can see in the lessons of history what can happen. And I was doing a little research in the break and was reading a Newsweek article from 2015 about Holland. Holland already has legalized doctor-assisted suicide. You don't have to prove that you have a terminal illness, and their the definition was unbearable pain. And that definition is being expanded daily. And it's coming down to even loneliness and just tired of living.
I remember Dr. Jack Kevorkian. It was a big deal, I think, in the 1990s here in America. And it's because he helped people who had terminal illnesses, commit suicide. Oregon actually was the first state in America to have a law supporting a physician-assisted suicide. I don't know if that has expanded into other states, but I do know that Oregon was one of those states. And I remember reporting on What's Important Now that, you know, it had a situation where a woman was diagnosed with lung cancer and she could not get insurance to, the state would not give her a medical card to help her fight lung cancer. And they sent her a letter and said, unfortunately, you've been denied insurance coverage, but we would be willing to help pay for a physician-assisted suicide. That's a true story that happened. And it really does indicate that we just don't value life anymore. I said this morning that, and it's a right cause. I don't think, you know, that we should mistreat animals, but there is more of an uproar over leaving an animal outside in the cold than there is ripping the limbs off of a child through that procedure. So it just, I don't know. But anyway, it's not all bad. There are efforts out there, gentlemen, to end abortion. As a matter of fact, the state in which we live, West Virginia, has some pretty restrictive laws on abortion. And partial birth abortion, for instance, in West Virginia is banned. It's not allowed. Which in many cases causes the abortion industry to suffer. So there are good things happening out there. But we just witnessed this past week, Iowa passed the heartbeat bill. And basically, if a heartbeat can be detected, you cannot perform an abortion. And a judge ruled it unconstitutional. Daniel, I just can't figure out why we won't stand up for life in this country. I just can't figure it out.
Well, we're talking about New York, and you said West Virginia and all these other places, you know, they're doing something good. But if we allow this to happen in New York, it's only a matter of time before it spreads.
Well, because I think it comes down to a constitutional issue. The Supreme Court will end up handling these type of things. Is that what you mean?
Right. And soon as people get the idea, and they start blurring what's right and what's wrong, just like they have. They've done it over the period of time. They've pushed and pushed and pushed and over a period of time that this is what we have. You look, you know, in five more years. You know, try to look down the road. Five more years. I've been on Facebook. People that they're not even Christian. They don't have no beliefs. They still can't believe what's taking place in this country. Even those people are saying it cannot go on much longer. Something's got to give. You know, but the sad reality, sad truth is it's in my heart, I know it's going to get worse.
Well, when there seems to be, Kevin, some sort of success like Iowa's heartbeat bill. A liberal judge says it's unconstitutional. You know, our Declaration of Independence says that we were endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which all of those rights are ripped away from that child in their mother's womb. They're never really given the chance, because the debate is, Kevin, whether or not there's an actual life there. But, you know, the silent scream is about, it shows, from an ultrasound's point of view, it shows a 12-week child inside the mother's womb. And when they start penetrating the womb, the heart rate of the child goes up. The movements of the child becomes very violent. They're dodging. They're trying to get away from the instruments. And it actually shows the child gasping and screaming. And that's at 12 weeks. And New York is going to allow now up until the date of birth. So it seems like every advance we have, there's a major, major setback. But really what it comes down to is that we don't value life. We have lost moral values. I don't know.
Like we've said before, life has come down to the dollar. How much do you want to pay for it? Where you mentioned the pursuit of happiness. They're claiming women's health, which scientifically and medically have been proven, after a certain time, there is no just cause for an abortion. The baby can be delivered, whether induced or by C-section, for the woman's health. The birth can be induced. It doesn't have to be aborted. But they're disguising the women's rights in their pursuit of happiness, which to the flesh seems to be happiness. But as we know, according to the Word of God, it's actually bondage.
Right.
And they're deceived. You know, if I can do whatever I want, that's happiness. That's freedom. But in reality, it's bondage.
Yes, it is.
You're not free. You're a slave to that lifestyle. And the ones that have gone multiple and multiple times, they've got that blood on their hands.
How can we think that abortion is a better option than adoption? I just don't get it.
And you know what amazes me? I was talking about, you know, regular care. If a woman was going to have a baby and she has regular care at the hospital, it's more expensive than getting a abortion, so they make it more convenient for you.
Yeah, they make it more convenient. It's easily, it's more accessible. It's easier.
It's the price tag.
Yeah.
We have made adoption laws so strict in America, it is easier and cheaper to adopt a baby from overseas, say like India, than it is to adopt a child here. Wow. And we're talking thousands of dollars.
So the procedure then is to take the life, and then you don't have to worry about it. But that's not what a lot of people don't understand. I know we in this room, in this studio here today, we understand this, but there's consequences to pay. And the consequences are going to be a heavy price. There's a lot of blood. There's a lot of blood that's been shed.
And with the point I was trying to make earlier is how cheap they make it to get an abortion. They make adoption so expensive, so they make any other alternative so high that, you know, mean that it's more convenient to have an abortion.
Yeah.
To murder your baby.
Yeah. Convenience is king, apparently. Kevin, I had we were talking about looking at some of the laws that had recently passed. Do you have any updates on any of those? I know I mentioned Iowa, but I think there were some other things happening around the nation as well.
The heartbeat bill was introduced in Ohio. It had passed the Senate, but not the House. They were proposing it also in Missouri, South Carolina, Florida, and Mississippi.
Okay, and all of them will likely be either not pass or be deemed unconstitutional.
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, but here's the upside, because I promised everyone that it's not all bad. Here's why this is important, ladies and gentlemen. These bills that are being proposed at the state level, it's because there's such an interest from multiple states, there's no choice but for it to go to the Supreme Court, just like Roe versus Wade did. And so the way you beat Roe versus Wade is by having some sort of law in place that determines that states when life begins. Because what Roe versus Wade did was said that they could not dive into what the medical community or scientific community needed to assess, as you know, back in 1973. They've yet to do that. They've yet to come out and say, okay, this is when life begins. And so that's the way you do that. That's why these heartbeat bills are coming out. And so the more states that push this, the more states that fight for this, it's by without a doubt, it's going to go before the Supreme Court, which is why conservative presidents are important and why elections matter. Because as far as I'm concerned, abortion is the issue I do not cave on. If I were asked, if there's one issue that you refuse to give on, it's abortion. I will not vote for someone who supports abortion. I just won't do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm never going to do it. And so with that being said, if it gets to the Supreme Court, you know, President Trump has nominated conservative justices with Ruth Bader Ginsburg in poor health. I mean, there's a possibility of another one. Clarence Thomas is up there in age. And that's why elections have consequences. That's why they really matter. And I noticed that President Trump is also electing or nominating, appointing justices or judges to the Ninth Circuit, which has been one of the most liberal courts in the entire country, the Court of Appeals, and it could change. It could change the fabric and the structure of our country. That's why these things are so vitally important. Kevin? Okay. I thought he had another story there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, we're going to ramp things up here. This has been brutal to even talk about. For me, it was a very impassioned sermon this morning, and it continued right into Pastor Talk. And I appreciate Kevin and Daniel both being here with me today as we have talked about this issue. You know, I'm going to challenge you like I challenged our church this morning. Get behind these pro-life organizations. Send your money. Share the message. Use social media for something that matters. Awareness. Make people aware that these things are happening in our country. They are happening in our world, and we need to stand up for those who can't speak for themselves. As Proverbs chapter 31 verse 8 tells us, open your mouth for the speechless. Stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. Well, for Kevin Poth and Daniel Johnson, I'm Pastor Tom Sears. Our email address, pastorsears@gmail.com. Our mailing address, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Thank you for listening to Pastor Talk. And as we move along, as we move forward, I do hope that you will continue to support this program. We enjoy bringing it to you, and we hope that it's a blessing to you. Today is all about standing up for those lives that cannot stand up for themselves, and we encourage you to do that as well. Well, we pray that God blesses you and that He keeps you. You have a wonderful day. Take care.